Open your Bible, please, to the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Page 1294 in your Schofield Reference Bible. Starting with verse 9, we'll read through verse 16, and we'll read the verses responsively. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 16, page 1294. And may we stand, please, for the reading of this passage. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own work, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto his eyes of him that whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that 16th verse we just read is the text verse for this morning's message. Let's pray. Now, Father, we have an obligation now to listen. We owe it to Thee, because this is Thy word. The man of God is Thy man. And help us to give the proper importance to this hour. And it's more important even than what we can imagine. We pray that You'd open our hearts and our minds, especially now. Help our preacher and bless him with Thy power in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning on the subject, call me Daddy today. Call me Daddy today. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, the thousands of us in this room, we have one great thing in common. Whether we know it or not, we need our Heavenly Daddy. And I pray this morning You speak to our hearts in a special way. And may we learn to love Thee more and lean upon Thee more, because we're here. In Jesus' name, amen. You need not turn to it, but I want to read my text verse to you again. Let us therefore come boldly. And that word boldly does not mean presumptuously or brashly. It means boldly as a child would come. Like a little child is unimpressed with his daddy's dignity. A king has a child, but the child is the king is daddy to the child and not your highness. Let us come that way, boldly, under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In my Bible, it has a little Y there in the last line, to help in time of need. And a little Y in the center reference says, for seasonable help. What it's saying here, let us therefore come as a child would come to his daddy, to our great Heavenly Father, to the throne of grace. Now, the throne of grace is still there. It is a throne of grace, just like the throne of England. But the child of the Queen of England doesn't come like a throne. It is a throne, but it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we have obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Our Heavenly Father, bless me now as I preach, and my folks as they hear. In Jesus' name, amen. It's talking here about seasonal need, in time of need, in time of special need. Now, all of us this morning, everybody in this room, are you paying attention? Look out this way. Everybody in this room this morning needs our Heavenly Father. And everybody in this room has burdens all the time. Life is that way. But there are seasons in our lives when the burdens are heavier. There come times or seasons, the Bible calls it, in our lives when we need God a little more than usual. Now, everybody in this room this morning has a burden. I don't care who you are. If you're old enough to be aware of life at all, you have a burden. But there are several hundred people in this, several thousand people here this morning who are in not just a normal type of a burden situation. You are in a season of burden, a season of trial. For example, your loved one passed away, a season of trial. You needed God before your loved one passed away. This is Newton, and the Newton family remind us this morning of our beloved brother Ray Newton. And the truth is, this family has been now for a year in a season of trial. They always had trials. They always had needs. They always had burdens, always had heartaches. But now they have been in a season of trial. If you'll let me, without seeking one thread of sympathy, I don't want any sympathy. I want loyalty and faithfulness. But I have been now for a couple of years, Mrs. House and I have been in a season of trial. We've always had trials. I mean, he's had one, I've had one, we're married to one. And we've always had trials. Her trial is bigger than it used to be. My trial never gains a pound, never gains a pound. And I hate that with a purple passion. But anyway, I'm saying we've always had trials, like you've always had trials. But now then, we've come to a time in our lives where we've had a season of trial. That's what the Bible's talking about right here. It says, let's come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, this means a special time of need. I'm talking to several thousand folks this morning, and all of you have a need. And all of you have a hurt of some kind today. But there's several of you, probably several hundreds of people in this room, who are enduring at this time a special time of need. That's exactly what Hebrews 4:16 is written for. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace in this time of need. Now, I want you to notice first is that we all have seasons of special need. I want you to notice second, there is help, grace, and mercy for these seasons of special need. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad God has a great reservoir of grace, that he can pull out extra grace to give you when you need extra grace? Aren't you glad that God has a great reservoir of mercy? He always is merciful to us. Aren't you glad in seasons of grief? The writer said, in seasons of distress and grief, my soul is often found relieved, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Aren't you glad that the God who always has mercy has a great reservoir of mercy, so he can give you more mercy when you have a need of more mercy? Aren't you glad that that great God, who always is our helper, our succorer, and our helper, aren't you glad that God has a great reservoir of strength? He always gives us our strength, but God has a great reservoir of our strength that he gives us more strength in times of special need. Now this morning, I'd like to address two groups of people, which will include all of you. One is those people who are enduring now a time of special need. You are in a season of special trial. You are undergoing a time right now of an unusual burden, an unusual heartache, unusual sadness, unusual loneliness, or unusual sorrow. Now, I'd like to address you. Then I'd like for those of you that are not in that time to realize that you will be in that time. There will be a time when the grace that you have now will have to be increased. There will be a time that the help you have now will have to be increased. There will be a time when the mercy you have now will have to be increased. So is it? Now then, I said we all have burdens all the time, but I said there are special times of need, seasonal times when we have special burdens, and I said there is a place of help and grace and mercy. Well, I must find that place. Where is this place? I'm in that period now. And many of you in that period now. Others of you have been in that period. Where is that place? The Bible tells us it's at the throne of grace. The throne of grace. Where is that special help? At the psychiatrist's office? No. At the throne of grace. Where is that special help? At the psychologist's office? No. At the throne of grace. Where is that special help? By somebody bearing our heart, somebody else? That's good. But at the throne of grace. Now, let me tell you something. You can take your little problem with each other, but there's going to come a time when you haven't got anybody to take your problem to with the throne of grace. And God says, when the seasonal time comes, when nobody understands. Look, there's nobody today in the world that can understand exactly the problem of those of you who are going through a seasonal time of trial. There's no way that any person in the entire human race can understand what I'm going through. I'm not having a pity party, but I'm saying nobody can understand it. You're not pastor of a church. You're not pastor of the biggest church in America. You're not going through what we're going through these days, just like we're not going through what you're going through. But nobody understands. But there's one that can understand. Because we just read a while ago before that verse, it said, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted and tested, like as we are, yet without sin." Now that means what I'm going through, he's been through. That means what Mrs. Hiles is going through, he's been through. That means what you're going through, he's been through. In all points tempted. All right? Since he was in all points tempted, when we come to these seasonal times, where can we find this extra help and this extra grace and this extra mercy? You find it at the throne of grace, where he who's been through what you are in now sits. But the word throne scares me. A throne. Throne of grace. I wish you'd have said the sofa of grace. Or the kitchen chair of grace. Or the lounge of grace. But he said throne. That scares me. Now, if there's a throne, there must be some protocol. You won't go have an audience with the Queen of England without going through some protocol. You won't even have an audience with the Pope without going through some protocol. I mean, you got to kiss his toe. I'd like to have a shot at his toe, but I wouldn't kiss it if I had a shot at it. He'd be a four-toed Pope. But anyway, one fella came here the other day. He was sort of one of these Christians that doesn't like to have fun in church. And he said, "How can a fella be so sweet in one sentence and so mean in the next one? I don't understand." Easy. But I shouldn't have said that, but I've already said it. There's no way I can take it back. It's out there in space somewhere, floating around. It'll be there forever. But let me say this. In any throne, there is protocol. There are certain things you've got to do. Okay, now, I'm going through a seasonal trial, and so are many of you. Now, the Bible says there is a place of help, a place of grace, a place of mercy. And I ask, where is that place? And it says that's the throne of grace. That's where God sits today on his throne in heaven. Then I say, okay, if I've got to come, I wish you'd come and meet me somewhere else. But if I've got to go to the throne, what is the protocol? How do I come to the throne? Now, please, don't miss it. Normally, I come and say, "Heavenly Father." That's the normal way. The model prayer says, "Our Father." That word is the word pater, which is an adult word. Like your son would have called you his father. And we come to God in prayer. Normally we say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." But now, in seasons of distress and grief, God has coined another term. Only three times in all the Bible is this term mentioned. And it's the word Abba. It means daddy. Daddy. Now what God is saying is this. God is saying, in normal times, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." But in the tough seasons, you can just call me daddy. That's what he's saying. Just call me daddy. Now he said, when everything's okay, you have the usual trial, have a little tough time getting income tax made out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mine is in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mine is his. And but normal times, he said, say, our Father which art in heaven. But he said, in those times where it's extra tough. See, God says to me, right now, I can call him Daddy if I want to. Daddy. I love this little illustration. I used it the other day, and please don't think I'm being crude, because I am. But don't think I am. But the perfect illustration. I took our kids, the winners of the contest for the fall program. I promised to spend a day with the winners of the teenage department contest, and a day with the winners of the juniors, and a party at night with the winners of the beginners and primaries. Well, we were over here at this oasis just inside Illinois, where they got this Burger King and the Popeye chicken. And then they have a big dining area out there, and they have an indoor park over here. And we were having so much fun, and nobody else was having fun because it was so noisy. Primaries and beginners. And they were having fun. I won't go into this rumor that's been out about me getting stuck in this slide. I'm not going to go into that. I'm just out there spreading rumors. But, now wait a minute. Here's Dr. Jack Hyle. Hey, you understand who I am, don't you? I mean, I am the chancellor of Hyles Anderson College. You don't seem as impressed as you ought to seem. I am the pastor of the largest church in America. Yeah, right. I am the author of 38 books. Almost 12 million copies have been sold. And you know what this little squirt had the audacity to do? Dr. Hyle. This little beginner boy looked up and said to me, as sweet as he could, as sweet as he could, Brother Hyle, could you take me to the potty? That's what I'm talking about right here. Yeah. For the first time in years, I took a little boy to the potty. Don't be upset with me now. That's what this says here. See, I may be, in Vacation Bible School, I'm that guy up there, and a couple of thousand kids out here. On Sunday morning, I'm that guy up there that gets mad three times a week, and hollers, I'm the pastor. But at the park, would you take me to the party? Now, God says, in the normal time, call me your Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. But there are three times in the Bible he tells us to call him Daddy. Let me share those three times with you. The first one, we will not turn to it, but it's in Matthew chapter 14, where, I think it's verse 36, but where Jesus was in, don't look it up, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying, he's saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was in the trial of his life, facing the burden and the heartache of his life. What was the heartache? Being crucified? No. What was the heartache? Nails and spikes and being beaten? No. What was the heartache? He who had never done anything wrong had to become sin for all mankind. And he had to be looked upon by God the Father as bearing all of our sins at one time in his body on the tree. And the Father was going to turn his back on him. And Jesus couldn't even say, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But in the Garden of Gethsemane, hear me now, in his extra trial, when the whole world was on his shoulders, when he was bearing what he never had borne before but never bear again, he said, Abba. He said, Daddy. God said, call me Daddy in Gethsemane. Call me Daddy. Now some of you this morning are going to your Gethsemane. God says, call me Daddy. Call me Daddy, Mrs. Newton. Call me Daddy. Call me Daddy, Mrs. McCarroll. Call me Daddy. Call me Daddy, the one who just lost a grandchild. Colonel McCormick, Mrs. McCormick, call me Daddy right now. You're going through a special, and God says this morning to you, if you're going through the special trial and the heavier burdens you're bearing, God said, okay, Call me Daddy. And I realized I was leaving Texas. Had to leave Texas and come here. I drove to my mother's house on Westchester Street in Garland, Texas. I drove to my mother's house. And my mother said, she knew I was praying about it, and she said, son, you're not going to go, are you? And I said, no, it's wrong, mother, I've got to go. God has called me to pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And I began weeping uncontrollably. And I sat down on the floor at my mother's knee. And I put my head on my mother's knee. And I wept, I'm sure, for 30 minutes. When she and my sister moved to Hammond area, many a time I've gone over there to 122 167th Street on a Friday afternoon when I went to see her every week. Many a time I've sat on the floor at her knees and put, when a burden was extra heavy. And I wasn't Dr. Hyatt. I was Jack. I was Jack. When Mama died, one day I went over there and I was sitting out in front of her house. And I was saying, dear God, I wish I could go up there in that second floor apartment. I wish I could just sit on the floor right now and put my head in Mama's lap and cry. I've never heard the voice of God. Neither has Oral Roberts either, by the way. But I've never heard the voice of God. But as near as I ever came to hearing the voice of God, God said, I've got a lap. Call me Daddy. Call me Daddy. And I fled to the woods and fell on my face in the woods. And I said, Heavenly Daddy, I need help. That's what God says to you this morning. He says, I'm always ready to hear you. But he said, in those special seasons, those times when the burden is heavier than usual, those times when the question is harder to answer, and the problem harder to solve, and the burden harder to carry, God said, in those times, you're Gethsemane times, and I'm talking to folks this morning, you're going through Gethsemane times, God said, call me Daddy now. Call me Daddy. You're in Gethsemane today. So am I. This church has been in Gethsemane for 2 years. We can call him Daddy today. My daughter Becky called me, and this is an old story to many of you. One night about 1 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. I picked up the phone and I said, hello. I just thought that'd be a good thing to say. And I said, hello. And Becky said, Daddy. I said, Puddin', it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, Becky, is something wrong? She said, no, sir. I said, are you all right? She said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Trina all right? That's the oldest grandchild. She said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Teresa all right? That's the middle grandchild. She said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Trent all right? That's the baby. She said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Tim all right? That's the son-in-law. She said, yes, sir. I said, oh. I'm sorry, Lynn and I were made. But anyway, I said, Becky, why are you calling me at 1 o'clock in the morning? And she said, Daddy, it's been a tough day today. I just need to talk to my daddy. She said, the children have not been good today. She said, you always seem to know how to take care of us. And I just need to talk to my daddy. I just needed to be a little girl. I wonder how many times I go to my Heavenly Father and I say, I just need to talk to my daddy. The burden's a little heavy. He says, call me Daddy again. And that's what he says to you today. Becky said one of the most precious things ever said to me. She said, down inside this, she's 37 I think then, down inside this 37-year-old woman's body, there's still a little golden-haired 3-year-old girl that worships her daddy. I just need to talk to my daddy. God looks down this morning and says, I'm your father. When you pray normally, say, our Father, which art in heaven. Our Pater, which art in heaven. But he said, in seasons of distress and grief, when you must often find relief,
He said, call me Abba, Father. Jesus said, Abba, Father, I have an extra burden. I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to bear the sins of the world. God said, call me Daddy. There's a second time the word is used, and that's in Romans 8:15, where it says, we have not received the spirit of fear or of bondage, but the spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What's he saying? He's saying, when these seasons of fear come, not only seasons of burden, but seasons of fear. I preached on this the other day. I told about when you're looking forward to a problem and you're afraid of it, it's not here yet. Sometimes that's worse than the problem. Looking and seeing the cloud come up is sometimes worse than the storm. And God said, not only can you call me Daddy, but he said, when the burden is here, but he said, when times of extra fear are here, you're afraid you're going to lose your job. You're afraid it might be malignant. You're afraid he's going to leave you with the children. You're afraid divorce is going to come. You're afraid you can't make it through the week. You're afraid of what the future holds. God said, when extra times of fear come, call me Daddy. Call me Daddy. I got a letter years ago. I have several letters that are very precious to me. I'm not sure I could find them, but in my mind, they're all filed. And one of them was saying, one of our Hiles Anderson college students, several years ago, he said, dear Brother Hiles, he said, I knew you from afar before I came to college. I knew you as a preacher that I thought was a great preacher. But he said, since I've been to college, I've heard about the way you treat the students. I've heard something about some things you've done for some of them. And he said, I've seen another side of Jack Hiles. And he said, and this is a precious statement, I wish everybody could see the other side of Jack Hiles. And I sat down and wrote a poem in my book on, please pardon my poetry, entitled, The Other Side of God. The Other Side of God. Our God is omnipotent, but our God is personal. Our God is powerful, but our God is tender. Our God is omniscient, but our God is a very present help in time of need. Our God caused the thunder to roll and caused the lightning to flash. Our God spoke and mountains danced on valleys and valleys dipped low. Our God spoke and the stars to shine. Our God spoke and the great redwoods of California rose from the horizon like mighty steeples above an earthly sanctuary. Our God spoke and 10,000 lakes of Minnesota appeared like 10,000 teardrops of deity, so man can look up while looking down. Our God spoke, and the great rivers were carved. Our God spoke, and the Rocky Mountains were made. Our God spoke, and the tulip was made. Our God spoke, and earth danced in space. That's our powerful, omnipotent, creator God. But that same God knows my phone number. Bible says he maketh our bed. Can I forget the time when John Rice and I visited a lady in North Carolina, Burlington, an older lady dying with cancer. We prayed for God to heal her, and Dr. Rice looked down and he said, now God, soften her pillow for her. He said, you said you maketh our bed. He said, make the sheet real comfortable now. And he said, soften the pillow and fluff the pillow for her as you make her bed. Could I leave a sermon like this without going to Psalm number 8, one of my favorite psalms? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. That wonderful, wonderful passage. God likens himself to an actor, a performer. And God says, the psalmist said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. He says, you're like an actor who tried to put your platform on earth for your performance, but the earth wasn't big enough. And so you put it in the heavens, but the heavens weren't big enough. And to have a platform big enough for God's great performance, he had to set his platform above the heavens. And the next verse says, thou the mouth of babes and sucklings, that thou art in strength to cause thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. What's God saying? God's saying this morning, I hold the sun in place. God's saying this morning, I keep the stars where they ought to be. God's saying this morning, I keep the constellations all in place God is saying, by my mighty arms, I hold up the universe. But he says also, that little baby that the parents had to go get a while ago in the nursery, God says, I know she's sick. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. Third place, and quickly, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, in seasons of backsliding, God said, call me daddy. In seasons of trial, call me daddy. In seasons of fear, call me daddy. But these Galatian people had backslidden. They had come from their Judaistic bondage to the freedom that's in Christ, and they had slipped back and backslidden. And God said, call me daddy if you're backslidden. This morning, if you drifted away from God, you have every right in the world to look up and say, daddy, I'm coming home. Daddy, I'm coming home. Those special seasons that all of us have to face, our hearts are not as warm as they used to be. They've grown cold. And a little bitterness has come into our lives. And we've gotten critical natures and done some things and said some things and felt some things we shouldn't feel. All of a sudden, we feel like we can make it ourselves. God said, come on back. When you do, call me daddy. You think when that prodigal son came back home, you think he said, omnipotent Father, I have returned? He said, I'm not even worthy to be one of your children. He said, make me one of your servants. God comes to you today and says to those of you who are backslidden in soul, call me daddy. I want you back. Call me. He says to Galatians, he said, come down off of it. Come down off of it. You're getting too highfalutin. Come down off of it and call me daddy. I close with this review. God loves you, and God knows your heartache today. And for the general run-of-the-mill, mundane problems of life, he says, when you come, say, our Father, our Peter, which art in heaven. That's a tender word, but it's an adult-like word. But he said, when you have an extra burden, a season of burden, extra season of fear, or a season of backsliding, he said, just come and put your head on my knee and call me daddy. I call my mother usually Mom. But every time I put my head in her lap, I called her Mama. Mama. God loves you this morning. He loves you if you're carrying that special load. You're in that special season. And he says, you can find help and grace and strength. Where can I find it, dear God? He said, you can find it at the throne of grace. Oh, my soul, the throne of grace. A throne or a king said. And the king said, he said, I'll get off my throne. Come down where you are when you have special needs and special problems. Don't call me your majesty. Don't call me royalty. Don't call me king of kings. Don't call me lord of lords. Don't call me omnipotent one. Just call me daddy. Our Heavenly Father,